Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. And if you have a red letter edition Bible, then you'll note these words that are in red. Go ye into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to every creature. Go ye into all the world. The Greek rendition of this verse can also be translated like this: as you are going. Instead of just simply saying go ye, it implies as you are going. Amen. As you are going. In other words, he's saying, I want you just to include this into your life. You see, sometimes we think that if we're going to be witnesses and evangelize, we have to be full-time and it's a paid position. No. It's natural. It's just as natural as breathing. Amen. That's what God intends. So tonight we want to talk about natural evangelism. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Somebody said that the world and the church have one thing in common. That is, they are both uptight about evangelism. Now, if you would be real honest with yourself, if you've ever been knocking on doors and kind of wished and hoped that there's nobody home, yeah, don't raise your hand, but have you ever kind of felt like that? You know, you were there, you were doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you're just kind of hoping you could leave a door hanger or a track, and you know, so you wouldn't have to talk to anybody. Some of you shaking your head, thank you. Amen. The rest of you are sitting there like, what are you talking about? Well, maybe you had knocked doors, but anyway. Hey, I've done that, Brother Hart. I've done that. I've knocked, and I've just, in my heart, I'm thinking, well, I hope nobody's here so I can just leave a track and an invitation to go on. You see, I'm not a sanguine person by nature. I'm a very much an introverted individual. I'm not an extrovert. So for me to talk to people is a learned behavior. Amen. It took me a long time and to get to where I am. This was not me. It's not natural. My natural inclination is to be quiet and let other people talk. And so this is something I have learned to do in my life. So I'm not a person that just naturally is outgoing and just loves to get out there and talk to everybody they see. You know, we have the saying, why, he's never met a stranger. About everybody I ever met was a stranger. And so I understand this uptightness about evangelism. I do understand that. I understand why people are like that. That's one reason it bothers me when people get up and say things like, how many souls have you won this year? And put everybody in the church under condemnation. Amen. There's a whole lot that goes on in winning a soul. Amen. It's not that God's got a role up there like Sunday school and he gives you a golden star every time you invite somebody or win somebody. Amen. There's a lot of prayer that goes into soul winning. And some people are great prayer warriors. This church wouldn't be what it is without some prayer warriors. Amen. This church wouldn't be where it is were it not for some intercessors. Amen. You are to be commended for what you do for the kingdom of God. So evangelism is a natural thing. We talk about natural childbirth. Well, all childbirth is natural. Amen. Doctors can't do that. Amen. God ordained it. God made it. And when there's complications, thank God there's somebody there that can assist in the birth of a child. But it's all natural. Whether you get a shot or whether you don't, it's natural. Amen. Because God made it. And soul winning's like that. Soul winning is a natural thing, Brother Hart. How many of you have ever walked through an orange grove or maybe an apple orchard? Amen. Or maybe you walk through a pear, whatever it is, orchard. I don't know what pears are called. A pear place. pear garden, whatever you call pears, and you walk through and the pears are growing on the trees. You know what? I've never been through one where I heard a lot of groaning going on. You know, it's a natural process. They're not straining and carrying on. They're just producing fruit. Because it's a natural process. Amen. Evangelism really is a natural process. Soul winning really is a natural process. If you have a healthy father and you have a healthy mother and they both want children, they will have children. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, there's nothing wrong with the father. I promise you, he's healthy, he's potent, he's powerful, and he wants to have lots of children. So if we're not having children, then the problem is with the mother. And the mother is the church. Amen. So if we get ourselves healthy, like God wants us to be healthy spiritually, we will produce children. It's just as natural as everything else in God's creation. Amen. I think one of our problems sometimes is we like superstars. The world loves stars, don't they? If you don't believe that, you cannot stand at a checkout counter in a grocery store. Every magazine there is about celebrities. All they are is human beings. They're just people. Some of them almost don't have any talent. You got more talent than a lot of them have. Amen. But somehow they did something that got somebody's attention, and they had a good agent that really promoted them, and there's people out there that somehow want to live vicariously through another individual. And they want to read about them. I don't know why. What difference does it make? Don't put any groceries on your table. Amen. All they're going to do is make you feel fat and ugly. Why would you want to read about something like that? Amen. Praise God. But that's our world, isn't it? It's got superstars. But you know what? If we're not careful in the church, we can get a little bit of a celebrity mindset. And I know people that think that they've got to hear a certain person preach or go to a certain place before they can be healed. If a certain person prays for me, I'll be healed. Oh no, it's not in the person. The healing's in the body. Amen. The youngest child in this congregation can pray for you and you can be healed. Amen. A gray-haired saint on one of these pews could pray for you and you could be healed. One of our precious young people could pray for you and you could receive your healing, because the gift is not in the preacher. It's in the body. And every one of us here tonight is the body. I heard somebody say, well, how many gifts of the Spirit do you have? I've got all 9 gifts of the Spirit. Oh, really? I don't believe the gifts are resident in an individual. The gifts are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are not gifts of an individual. So the Holy Ghost, anybody that has the Holy Ghost can be used for any gift at any time that God wishes to use them, and they make themselves available. Because the gifts are in the body. Otherwise, people can get lifted up, and they do. Amen. I've seen people destroyed because God used them a little bit in one of the gifts. And they got the big head over it, thinking they were something because they had a gift. No, you don't have a gift. The gift's in the Holy Ghost. You just have the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have a potential for all the gifts. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's all about Him. So evangelism then really is a natural thing. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, most of us here tonight could quote that. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now notice that word, ye shall be. Witnessing is not just something that you do, but being a witness is what you are. It is a state of being. You are a witness every day and every moment of every day. You're a witness in your home. You're a witness in the marketplace, at the store. You're a witness on your job. You're a witness everywhere you go. Everything you do, you are a witness. Interesting, the word witness. Martus. We get our word martyr from that word. We talk about martyrs. Well, he said you're all martyrs. Amen. A good witness is willing to lay down their life for Jesus Christ. Somebody said, I don't know if I can do that. Well, let me just encourage you with this. His grace is sufficient. If he brings you to it, he'll take you through it. Amen. So don't worry about it. Oh, I don't know if I can. Don't worry about that. It's not here yet. If it comes, God will take you through. You'll be all right. Don't worry and fret over things that may never happen. Amen. So being a witness is just a natural thing. Every day we're witnesses. Sometimes we're bad ones. And sometimes we're good ones. When we blow our top, give somebody a piece of our mind, get unkind to people, treat people bad, you're still a witness. Yes, you are. Hello? You're still a witness because you're still a child of God and you still have the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you're still a witness. You're just not being a very good one right then. You know what? It behooves us to be mindful all the time that we're witnesses. There's never a time that you can just be unkind and unchristian to somebody, ever. Ever. Because you're a witness 24 hours of every day. Well, it's just my wife. Oh? Is your wife a part of the body of Christ? You mean you're treating the body of Christ like that? Well, it's just my husband. He deserves it. Oh? You mean you're talking about the body of Christ like that? You're saying those things about Christ's body, Christ's church, Christ's bride? You think that might upset him a little bit? Hey, I just tell you, it upsets me when people talk bad about my wife, or my children, or my child. That upsets me. Does it upset you? You better believe it. And it upsets God if whether it's your husband or your wife, your brother or sister in the church, it upsets him when we talk bad about one another. Amen. Because we're witnesses. Now I know, folks, this is not easy. And it's not easy for me because sometimes I'm not a good witness either. I look back and times that I've been unkind to people and I feel real bad. Times that, it really wasn't their fault. And even if it was, I still didn't have any right to act like I did. I didn't have any right to say some of the things I said. That's the way we are. We have to watch that. Here's the important thing. Don't make excuses. Make changes. Don't make excuses. Make changes. Too many people just make excuses. Well, that's just the way I am, brother. Well, there's a cure for that. Change. Amen. Recognize when you do wrong and be a man enough, a woman enough to change your behavior. Because we are witnesses of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses every day. Amen. There are those special moments. Philip was having a revival. Man, he was in a revival. Philip, he actually got to start the revival. I mean, they were having revival because of Philip. He went to Samaria and he started preaching the gospel, and Samaritans started getting the Holy Ghost and stuff. And I mean, he was having revival. And right in the middle of the revival, God spoke to Philip and he said, I want you to go out there in the desert. And Philip could have said, well, you know, God, this is my revival. But Philip had enough sense to know it wasn't his revival. God sends revival. It's his revival. And so he said, I need you to go out there. So he did what the Lord said, and he went out in the middle of the desert, and he's just standing there, and all of a sudden, this guy comes along, and he's riding in a chariot, and he's got on this beautiful, beautiful robe, and he's a very high-up government official from Ethiopia. And the Lord says to Philip, he says, go attach yourself to that chariot. So Philip runs up and jumps in the chariot and hitchhikes a ride, and the guy's reading. He said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading Isaiah. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, I know. I need somebody to tell me. Amen. And the Bible says salvation is of the Jews. Amen. And what advantage hath the Jew? Much in every way. One of the great things is that the Word of God was given to them. So he understood the prophet Isaiah. He'd been studying that since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. All of his life he'd been studying the Word of God. He'd been to synagogue every Sabbath, and he was a student of the Word. And so he understood what was being said in Isaiah. And guess who's over in the 53rd chapter, where it was talking about the suffering servant, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible says Philip began to preach to him. Yes. You know what? If you're a true witness, you can start anywhere in the Bible and wind up at Acts 2:38. Because that's where it all heads to eventually. Wow. Amen. So he got under conviction, and he said, what am I supposed to do? And he started telling him, all of a sudden he stopped the chariot out in the middle of the desert. Everybody say, the desert. In the desert. And he stops his chariot and he says, hey, there's some water in the desert. In the desert, God supplied water for a hungry man out in the desert place. Yes, he did. And he said, well, can I be baptized? And he and Philip both went down into the water. Now, if they were going to sprinkle, that wasn't necessary, right? He just could have got the canteen and just done a little sprinkle job on it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And that's not the way the apostolic church did it. So they both went down into the water. Both he and the eunuch, he baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. And they both came up out of the water. Amen. Praise God. Now that was isn't that marvelous? Now that only happened, as far as I know, one time to Philip. The rest of his evangelism was just kind of natural. That one was pretty supernatural, wasn't it? That was pretty supernatural. I've known people had supernatural experiences, but they're not common. Peter had one when the Lord told him to go to Cornelius' house and gave him a special vision. And when he got there, as soon as he started preaching, the Holy Ghost fell, and people started getting the Holy Ghost right in the middle of his sermon. Now that was pretty special, but that's not the norm. That's not the way it normally happens. The Apostle Paul, Silas, Barnabas, and John Mark, when they went into missions work, you know, they'd just go into a city and they didn't know. They just were what they were. And they would go, first of all, usually to the synagogue, because they were Jewish and there was a synagogue in town. They'd just go to the synagogue because they knew they'd be having church there on the Sabbath day. And they'd just go in there and then they'd start talking to people. Then they'd get to talking somehow or other. It would wind up, they'd be talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they'd wind it around eventually to Acts 2:38 and the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. That's natural evangelism. Amen. And it's just a natural process. Just as natural as it can be for us. So then they'd usually get kicked out of the synagogue. After a little while, they'd run them off. But by then, those folks that had heard, well, they wanted to go with them. And so they'd start a church. And they'd start having services. And then they'd have more people going out. And they'd be witnessing and just living the Christian life. And the next thing you know, there'd be a church. And then they'd go across town and they'd start another church. And then they'd go across town and they'd start another church. When we read about the church in Jerusalem being 200,000 people, it wasn't just one congregation that big. The church in Jerusalem was made up of many congregations and numerous pastors and leaders. It wasn't just one congregation. Read about the church in Ephesus reaching 88,000 members. It wasn't brought together every service. It was many congregations. That's evangelism. I had a conversation one time with a brother, a good friend of mine, and he felt like that there was this large church that and he said nobody else needs to go there because, boy, they've got a great church. Well, I don't agree. Amen. I think if you've got a city of 60,000 people, being on the planet Earth that can reach 60,000 people by himself. There's not a church that can reach 60,000 people. Somebody go to that city and start a church, have at it. And we got into a pretty heated argument, or at least he did. And he felt later and apologized because he got a little upset with me, but I just don't believe that. So I was in a place and he said, "Hey, brother," he called me up one day. He said, "I want to come to church." And you're sitting over. Just come over and buy that gift. Praise God. Amen. And so he didn't, of course. He laughed. But it would have been all right. Some people feel like that if you've got one church in the city, that's all you need. I went to on deputation. There was over 1 million people in that area. Over 1 million people. Nearly 1.5 million. And a young man wanted to start a church there. There said, 1.5 million people. He maybe had 200. Hadn't even made a dent. How many churches do you need in a city of 1.5 million people? Amen. As far as I know, at this time we have maybe 4 churches in Athens, maybe 5, maybe 6 churches that preach the name. Amen. And you know what? On any given Sunday, there's probably around 500 people now that are in a truth-believing church. What if we just had this? We wouldn't have that many, would we? This church, as far as I know, has never been to 500 yet. I believe we're on the way. Amen. But we're not there yet. Praise God. And so to the point that we get fixing us 4 no more. Amen. Nobody can come. This is the church in Athens. You know, I wish God would pour out the Holy Ghost in every church in Athens. I wish every preacher in Athens, Texas would get the revelation of the name. Praise God. I wish every pastor in Athens would baptize in Jesus' name and their people would get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Praise God. And they would get a revelation of the holiness of lifestyle. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be an apostolic revival. Praise the Lord. You can't pastor that many people. Amen. No matter who you are. Praise the Lord. And so that's how we pray that God will send that kind of revival. That's what I want to say. He said, preach the gospel. Amen. If you're standing and you got a worker with you and you're peeling potatoes, he said, preach the gospel. If you're fishing on a fishing boat and you're baiting hooks or heading shrimp, he said, just go ahead and preach the gospel. Amen. If you're on a highway somewhere and you're filling in potholes with hot asphalt and you got somebody working with you, he said, just go ahead and preach the gospel. Amen. If you're out on a farm somewhere and you're harvesting some crop and you got people working with you, just go ahead and preach the gospel. Just wherever you are, just go ahead and preach the gospel. Now let me put a little word of caution in here. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about that we're supposed to watch and pray. Amen. So if you're witnessing, you don't stop what you're doing and rob somebody's time that's paying you to do a job and witness. I've heard people say, well, witnessing is more important than anything. Well, it was, to your boss, it's not. As a matter of fact, when you're robbing him of time, you're not being a good one. Now, work at the same time. Get with it. Amen. But if not, wait till break time. Mm-hmm. That's right, Brother Grissom. You're telling me the truth. Thank you, sir. Because we want to be a good witness, right? Amen. And we want to be a good witness. So you're a good witness. You're careful. What does it say? He that winneth souls is self-righteous. He that winneth souls is cocky. He that winneth souls is full of himself and proud. He that wins is wise. Wise. You're very sensitive to it and know how far to go and when to shut up and when to hush and when to stop and what to say and when not to say. When you've said enough. Amen. When to hold back a little bit. You know, Jesus, even to his disciples, he said, I have much to tell you, said, but you're not ready to receive it yet. You're not ready to receive it. Everything. All of it. It's like a baby, you know. You may like steak, but you try to feed steak to your baby, because they're not ready for steak yet. You got to feed them some baby food. Amen. You got to squash it up and grind it. Because they're not ready. It's wise. It's a lifestyle. Amen. You're real careful, first of all, with your lifestyle. Amen. You're trying to live like Jesus. Amen. I worked on a job one time with a man. He was he said he was a preacher. I'm sure he was. And you talk about singing. Oh, that man could sing. He had an awesome voice. And while he was working, he would sing. And all of a sudden, he hit his thumb with a hammer. And his humanity came out. No Christian ought to ever... Amen. No Christian should ever talk like that. Amen. Praise God. And so you see, in our lifestyle, we have to be consistent, right? We are Christians. It's not something we do on Sunday. It's not something we put on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night when we come to church. We are Christians. Every day, we're Christians. Amen. It's how we talk. We talk the same way when we're in church as we do when we're not. Amen. We behave ourselves the same way. We're kind to people and we're sweet in our disposition and we try to treat people with man and honor because we're Christians. Because we love souls and because amen. That's natural evangelism. People ought to really love us. Because they didn't. I said they should. People said several times that he had to go out in the middle of the woods. There wasn't even room in town. They'd just keep pushing him outside because everybody wanted to be close. Amen. As Christians, we ought to endeavor to be so like Christ that people enjoy being around. Hey, they just like being around us. Amen. And we're kind. We're not so interested in ourselves. Amen. That we can't take time for others. And taking time. Jesus showed us that, didn't he? You know, Jesus just did natural evangelism. His first miracle wasn't it? Just got invited to his ministry. That was how he started his ministry. It wasn't Jesus. He just started it at a wedding feast. Then the next thing you know, there's this guy in John chapter 3. This guy heard about him talking to him. And here he is out there just witnessing, talking to the middle of the night. That's natural evangelism. He told his disciples one time, before he said, I must need so sends them in the town to get something to eat. And he's sitting down resting at this well, and this woman comes out to draw water. And he begins to talk to her about worship and about God and about living water. The woman says, who's the Messiah? I want to know who he is. He said, the one that's... She got so excited, she dropped her water bucket and ran back to town. Said, I just talked to a man that told me everything I've ever done. Amen. The next thing you know, the whole city is coming out there to see him. And they had revival. It was a natural thing. We don't know to talk to Anybody in this church could spark the greatest revival this city's ever seen. Anybody here, it could happen. You could talk to, get so excited and talk to some more people. Amen. And then this, and the next thing you know, there wouldn't be a seating place in this auditorium. Amen. There'd be standing room only. It could happen. I said it could happen. Evangelism. If we could get Brother So-and-so to come and preach, I know we'd have it. Well, I don't believe in a suitcase. And I believe in natural evangelism. It's what the apostles did. It's what Jesus did. Amen. And I've watched it work over and over and over again. If you build a church on sensationalism, it's being sensational. If you promise people a miracle a minute or their money back, then you got to keep miracles happening. Amen. At the place. Somebody's got a better show than you've got. Amen. And if you bring people in on whatever kind of an event, amen, I'm not against having special services. We want to have special speaking. That sparks revival. Is a result of natural evangelism. Sheep bear saints. Amen. We are the church. We are the mother. It'll not be a special singer. Amen. It'll not be born through some great testimony. God for great people. But revival's going to come just us going out and just living the Christian life and helping people and touching their lives with the Spirit of God and hunger in their heart and inviting them and bringing them. Amen. And what's happened? The queen by the name of Saul, the king of Jerusalem, headquartered in Jerusalem. So she'd heard so much, but she wanted to see if it was true. So she took her entourage and they came to Jerusalem. And you know what's really interesting about this? Didn't do anything special when they got there. He just did the stuff he did every day. Anything. She sits down, bring what he ate every day. And the servants came and they told us, but he did that every day. It wasn't special for the Queen of Sheba. And he just talked about stuff that he talked about answers to. And he gave answers and did that every day. He didn't brush up and go to the library. We get ready. He didn't cram. No, it was just what he did every day. And then he went to church. And it wasn't any different. He just went to church and she walked along and she saw the rain went to church, being dazzled by the brightness of the sun and beautiful music and the prayer and all of that. And the Bible said there was no breath left in her, and she said, "Told me." But Solomon didn't do anything different. That was just, amen. That's what, amen, is that people come to church with things special. Always have good church. We don't worship any different than we have a worship, because we always worship. Amen. We don't have to preach special sermons, because every sermon is special. We just have Christ is always glorified. Amen. We don't pray any differently than we normally pray. Just having church. That's natural evangelism. Praise God. That's the way. Who prays? Amen, amen, amen. Praise the name. Everything we do is supposed to reflect the glory of God. This is how we're supposed to live our life. There are some things that we should settle in. And I pray tonight that this is the way it is. Trying to make this way. I hope that it is. Amen. I hope being a guest and not a visitor. We don't have any visitors. We do have guests here, but no visitors. We don't want them to visit. Amen. So, hey, man, this is good. I want to do this again. And so we want our guests, when they come, to never feel like, and I don't want you to feel like, that if you invite somebody here, they're going to get embarrassed by something we say or do. You know, I would like enough comfort that when we preach, that we're not going to embarrass somebody. That has happened, you know. That has happened. Amen. Praise God. And there was an evangelist one time that a friend of mine, he invited him to the church to preach. He came and And they had practiced hard, learning some new songs and you know, to help the revival. And they were preparing their very best for the Lord. And he starts tearing down the musicians and the sword. And the elder just stands up and said, "Son, leave here for a minute." Then he tells the church, he said, "The revival's over." And he went in the office and he wrote the young man his check and he let him go his way. Because he did not want his people to be embarrassed. Amen. Praise God. Everybody has preferences. Everybody has favorite songs and favorite styles of music. Amen. And has ideas. But you know, we don't want people to feel embarrassed when they come. We don't feel people to feel now stands. Worship will not feel worship to Jesus Christ will never offend people. Now it's that'll offend people. But if you are sincerely worshiping the Lord, amen. We're not going to be offended. They may be bring conviction. Praise God. Go to a zoo and look at the lion and he's just laying out there. See a lion, I want to hear him roar. Amen. Come on, buddy, show me why you're the king of the beast. Don't sit there flicking fly, lay some of your fat belly. Get up and roar. Show me why you're the king of the beast. Amen. I want to see the gorilla. I don't want to see him just sitting over there picking fleas. I want him to beat on his chest, stand up and roar and show his ugly teeth. Amen. Because that's what he is. That's what I want to see. But I want a fence between me and them while they're doing that. Big one, strong one. Holy Pentecost. They've heard about you. They've heard about how we clap and talk in tongues and shout and dance. They've heard all that. So they're not shocked when you do it. They're shocked if you don't. They expect you to be Pentecostal. So you don't have to hold. Amen. But to live up to where you are on their first service or their second and all the bar, you need to dress like I dress. You need to be like I am. Who made you? Are you really that good? Come talk to me. You might have got all this right stuff. And let me tell you something. God takes this stuff in here just as seriously as He does what's on this outside. Amen. That's not to excuse the outside. It is our test world that there's a change in our life. And what we do is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose. If you're trying to be holy for any other reason, then you're all wrong. If you're doing it because if you're doing it because your pastor told you to do it because you want to glorify Jesus Christ with your body, that's life. And when we have the right motive, we'll do it because we want, we have to, and we'll not have a resentful spirit, but we'll be joyful in our holiness. And that's the way it must be. And so, this won't embarrass anybody. Amen. Let's not do our best not to do that. Praise God. Do our very best not to do that. And we need to be very nervous and especially we need to be very, very, very careful and especially to our guests. Amen. Be considerate. Amen. I believe there's a right time and a right way to take care of things. Now, who knows? You know, we might have a Sunday night service to be dealt with. But I won't do that if there's a lot of guests. I might have some issues on a Sunday morning need to be dealt with. But I won't do it if there's a lot of guests here. Well, Brother Grissom, amen. And then if they come, they're an open target. On risk. I'm going to deal with an nitty-gritty. And this brother, there was a man that came to a saints meeting. And they told him, tonight we're going to be dealing with some nitty-gritty stuff here in Norwich's body because, you know, there are things you may not understand and you know, we'd really be here. I want to hear the nitty-gritty. Oh, amen. But we're not seeing what embarrass people if we could possibly keep from it. But at the same time, if they come, then they're going to hear what saints hear. Amen. And each service has an objective, kinds of service. We really like evangelistic shouting, screaming, running the back of the pews, swinging off of chandeliers kind of services, don't we? That's the kind of service we like. And we have those we think, man, every service ought to be like that. No. There's three. One is evangelism. Preach the good news. That's an evangelistic service. Its primary purpose is to get the good news. Know the good news yet. That's an evangelism. It is primarily geared toward the guest. Any service. And then there is an edification service. Edification, the word means to edify, means to build up. The purpose of the service is to build up the saints of God. You. That's one of the primary reasons for having church. You know, ideally, evangelism, we don't know how the early church did it, but I think evangelism could take place as much or more outside than it does inside. What would be wrong with people as an altar? Would there be anything wrong with that? I mean, you come in, you teach them a Bible study, and conviction comes in, and they start, I feel something, and I, Holy Ghost, don't call me, pray them through. Right there on the spot. If you want to be baptized, then you call me. And I'll meet you up here, and we'll get her done. Amen. But you see, this is revival. That's what it ought to be. Amen. Revival. It shouldn't be bring people, you know, and the 10th service and 10th time they come to the altar, they get the Holy Ghost. No, it ought to be just any time they hear, and they're believing it right there, wherever it is. It's evangelism. Now, people came in the New Testament. You know, you need to hear preaching. And have you ever come to church, you know, kind of down, discouraged, and left, man, just full of faith? And that's edification. That's what God wants to happen when you come to church. That's what's happening. You're not supposed to leave feeling worse than you did when you came. You're supposed to leave built up. That's an edification service. And we need that as saints of God. You see, the saints wouldn't get very edified, would they? Because it would be the same stuff you've always heard. You need to be fed and edified. And then the third purpose of the service is equipping. And when you tell me to do a job, and I would like to have the tools to work with, I'm done. Just tell me to go evangelize, but tell me how to do it, equipping. And so we need to do all three of those things. So we couldn't get the other two done. It would be shallow. Amen. So we need all of those things. We need preaching and we need teaching. We need a balanced format. And so all of those things are necessary to have a revival church, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And natural events are great for evangelism. It's good when we have special services. And a lot of people, somebody said it this way. They said, some people never see the church without either poinsettias or Easter lilies. So they come at first time. I don't care. Get them here. We're having an Easter break. Father's Day, Mother's Day, Kids Day, Amen. We in another place where we pastored, and we had quite a revival start because we did this kids program, and these Sunday school kids, and they were coming to the program, and because the kids came, all the kids, man, and natural from a kids program. So you see, natural events draw people, bring people, Amen. And so that's all a part of evangelism. Amen. We have Friends Day. Amen. And it's a special event. So if church on events, then you got to keep coming up with special events all the time. And then they're not special anymore. Amen. Praise God. It's specialness. So we need to have special events, but it can't be something that we do all the time. Amen. Now, a word of winding down here. I'm going to quit in just a minute, believe it or not. They need to be the before brothers or sisters. If there's a You need to speak to them first. Tell them how. And tell them how glad you are that they came to with us. Amen. They need to be first. Praise God. So we need to make... When you talk to people, you don't have to get real spiritual and talk like in Daniel and Ezekiel's vision and wheel in the middle of the wheel. You don't have to talk about that. You can just say, how are you doing? Hot, ain't it? just normal conversation like you're just a real person. Amen. You can dazzle them with your brilliance a little later on, but just normal, everyday, ordinary conversation. Let them know that we're just real folks around here. Amen. That's just good, isn't it? Amen. That's just normal conversation, just normal stuff. Amen. Praise God. And just that's a good thing. And then here's a real good thing. And I think a lot of these things are based on that. But this is something I hadn't thought of and hadn't heard of. That one pastor, and a very successful pastor, by the way, he had what he called the 3-minute rule. The 3-minute rule is that you don't talk to the pastor for the first 3 minutes after service. The 3-minute rule is talk to anyone you normally talk to until you've greeted the guest first and then somebody you don't know very well. You see, it's up our little comfort zone and then we don't just go to the same people all the time and other people after I'm talking. Isn't that a good rule? So right now we're going to initiate the 3-minute rule. Our guest here, You go first of all with the people you normally, and that's wonderful. That's the way it ought to be. I mean, it's just natural that you're going to be toward others. That's just as natural as breathing. That's nothing wrong with that. But you just make sure for the first 3 minutes at least. Who knows? You may extend it to 3 hours. 3 minutes just to people that you don't know very well. People that are somebody leaves feeling very, very special. Amen. Now I know I do. I like to end every opportunity. Pray. Because who knows what God is doing in somebody's heart. Amen. You may feel like, well, it's just been really just hungry for the Holy Ghost. That could get the Holy Ghost when they go home. And that's why we always, that it ends with our visiting and all of that. But we got to put that's the first priority, folks. It's all about right here. Every service, every time we sing a song, and the preaching and the teaching and everything about getting people to Christ, that's its only purpose. You already know the Lord better. Our psychologist and they. But this makes sense to me. When you receive, so if you don't act on it, then the next time you have that impulse or thought, and the next time it's harder for you to respond to. And the next time it's harder for you to respond to. Until finally, you won't respond at all. When we feel an impulse and a drop into it the next time, and find an impulsion to come at all. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I don't ever want to get to a place where just coming to church is all I need. I'll spend that time with Jesus Christ. Give me one more reason why I believe this altar is a special place. Because there will be guests that will be sitting in our audience and they'll so desperately want to come. Amen. And we're making an altar appeal. We're asking people to come. Amen. And if nobody else comes, it's really, really hard for them to be the only one. But if they see others stepping out, it's much easier then for them to step out and come also. Don't ever try to force anybody to the altar. Don't ever. I don't care how good a friend they are. Don't ever try to force anybody to an altar. Don't ever try to force anybody to an altar. Hear me tonight. God does not want forced worship. If they're not going to come and give it freely, then don't try to force it. All you'll do is drive a wedge between you and them and between God and that individual. And nothing good will be accomplished. Now, there's nothing wrong with inviting somebody to come and pray. If you're on your way out and it looks like they're visibly moved, It's okay to say, would you like to come down and pray with us? That's an invitation. There's nothing wrong with that. They won't get offended. And then if they say yes, say, well, just come on, go with me. If they say no, not right now, just say, well, God bless you, and go on your way. Amen. You see, because you try to force folks, and they're not ready. You may really feel a strong burden. Well, you get down here and you pray. You get down here and travail. But don't try to force them. You'll only cause resentment. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is an equipping service. This is the how-to service. Amen. Praise God. And so I hope that we've talked about how-to. Amen. Evangelism is not a program of the church. Evangelism is the behavior of the church. It's a lifestyle. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's what it is. Amen. So Jesus said, as you are going, preach the gospel. Whatever you're doing, preach the gospel. Be like the man somebody said, what do you do? He said, I'm an ordained plumber. He's a plumber, but he's ordained about it. He's a witness while he's plumbing. Amen. So whatever you do, be anointed and be ordained about it. Praise God. And in closing, they were discussing evangelism and styles of evangelism, ways of evangelism. They talked about the Jesus film, and they talked about crusades, and they talked about television evangelism, and they talked about radio evangelism, and they talked about all these things. And finally, one quiet young lady, she said, well, where I come from in Africa, she said, when we find a village that doesn't have any Christians in it, she said, we just send a Christian family to live among them. That's natural evangelism.
Yeah,
we just find a Christian family to go and live among them. What was it Jesus said? He said, let your light so shine among men. Amen. That they may see your good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. Amen. That's how it works. You just let your light shine. Every time you get a chance, you do something good for somebody. Praise God. You bake cookies. Amen. You take somebody a little cake. Amen. You do something good for somebody. You help them start their car if the battery's dead. Change a flat tire. Whatever it is you can do, just do good. Speaks volumes, doesn't it? Amen. Let's stand together. I'm talking about evangelism, but it's natural evangelism. And this is how the church is built. And this is how the church grows. And this is how the church prospers. Amen. And this is how a healthy church is born. And once a healthy church starts, you see, it doesn't matter because there are no superstars in a healthy church. Something that concerns me about the mega church concept that I see, and you know, there's a lot of mega churches springing up. Amen. And but a mega church concept is when the personality that built that church is gone, it's very, very difficult for anybody else to come in and be able to maintain what he achieved because it's built on his personality. But if you have a lifestyle evangelism church and it's all about Jesus and everything's just natural, amen. Everything's just natural. Praise God. Then yes, ministry is always important, but it's not a make or break situation because it's not about the preacher. It's about Jesus Christ and winning souls to Jesus Christ. And that's what it's like. He's the center of it all. He's got to be. He's got to be. Amen. This is natural evangelism. It's what we believe. It's what we want to do. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your time and your attention here tonight and listening. Amen. And I pray that we've gleaned something from these words in this lesson tonight. Amen. Praise God. I think it'd be good if we'd just come stand around this altar and dedicate ourselves fresh to the Lord. You don't have to kneel unless you want to. Praise God. Sometimes it's good just to come, lift your hands and lift up your face to the sunshine of God's love and just declare your love to Him. Just thank Him for talking to you, speaking to you, and helping you tonight. Lord, I pray that while we've been preaching in this service and teaching this lesson, that You've been talking to our hearts. And I pray tonight, Lord, that individuals have received something very special from You tonight, more than what we were just saying. But I'm praying tonight that the Holy Ghost confirms some things to people's hearts and You quicken things to their mind and to their spirit. Maybe a person came to mind and they saw somebody that they want to win to the Lord. Maybe they saw an opportunity that they could use as a point of evangelism that opens a door just to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Just let it be tonight, God, that You can speak to us and help us to hear. Give us eyes to see what the Spirit's doing. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. God, give us a willing heart to be used of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And evangelism in this late hour. We thank You today, God. We want to be used of the Lord. We need to be. We must be used of God. I dedicate my time. I dedicate my energy. I dedicate my knowledge. I dedicate my experience. Everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that You can make me to be. God, I want to dedicate it to You tonight. Use me, Lord. Use me. Use me. Use me. Help me to be a soul winner, God. Amen. Help me just in my natural, everyday life. The things I do, let it be a light. God, help my Christian witness and the goodness of God that's born in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let the good words that I speak have a megaphone. Amen. To speak to a heart, somebody. Amen. Let words that we say of good witness, God, and kind and good things, let it echo in the recesses of a hungry soul. Lord, let my light shine and somehow let something about my life, kindness and goodness and the love of God that's in me, Lord, let somebody see that. And let them be drawn to it. Let them be won by it. Let it be mindful. Let them see the peace of God upon our features and want to know what is the source of Your peace. Let that be. Let that be. Help us, Lord, just to be Christians in everything we do and everything we say and everywhere we go. Praise the Lord. Amen. Inspire us to random acts of kindness and good works. Amen. Just doing the right things. Being kind to people. All people. At all times. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.